single movie theater in the major cities regarding this movie, where what they would do was they asked the brothers to go there, not to, you know, make any sort of, you know, violent gestures or shouts or something like that, but just to pass out this leaflet that they had, calling people to a designated masjid the next day when there was going to be an open. And they passed out these leaflets. And on the next day, because the movies open on Friday night in the United States, on Saturday was an open Islamic day where people were told to come and find out about Islam. Now, it's too early now to judge the success of that. I mean, we don't know if people have become Muslims or someone, because, I mean, I asked one of the brothers before I came last week in our class, and he said that they're still getting the reports about the different success around the country. People are still, different communities are sending the reports of what they did. But what they did find, which was very clear, was that the movie producers became on under defense. And what you found was that the movie producers in major newspapers, like in the Washington Post, in the New York Times, on major news broadcasts, started to come out and say, well, actually, the movie, we need the movie to defend Islam and the Muslims, or not Islam, but defend the Muslims. Right? Because the theme of the movie is what? That there are terrorists who blow up buildings and kill people in Brooklyn, and so as a result, the American government is forced to enforce martial law, and they take all the Muslims indiscriminately and place them in prisoner of war camps and so forth, internment camps. And that's the theme of the basic theme of the movie. So the directors start to come out and say, and the writers of the movie say, well, actually what we were trying to do was we were trying to show that, you know, we shouldn't allow few terrorist attacks lead us to be take these, you know, extreme measures. Like, so we're trying to open up a debate. A lot of those were in their hearts, right? Okay. But the point is that the fact that they actually had to come out and say that statement, right, show that even the littlest effort by Muslims to concerted effort, you know, put them in some sort of, you know, some sort of quandary, some sort of fear that, you know, that this might result in a negative image for them. And in the end, what they understand is the money in their pocket, okay? The other matter is that I read an article by one of the, it's a Christian Arab, who wrote an article regarding the movie. And, you know, a lot of the Arab American groups, from the perspective that they're Arabs and Arabs are being demonized in the movie, even though they're Christians or, you know, not necessarily Muslim. And he wrote an article saying that what they were trying to do was they're trying to get stop the movie from being spread to Arab-speaking countries, you know. Because what's happening is that all these movies that are being made by Hollywood are being watched and being bought and millions of dollars are being spread. And so they explained that, for instance, there was a certain movies which were being shown on certain international flights by certain Arab nations, some of their, you know, airlines and so forth. They tried to contact those airlines to pull the movies off those airlines. And they were trying to do something, but they had met very limited success. The point is that, you know, in reality, you know, we face a major media onslaught. It's a media war. And this war is a lot easier for people in order to spread their ideas to physically fight. I mean, to actually engage in warfare in terms of, you know, preparing armies and then sending those armies across thousands of miles to fight in foreign lands, to take those countries and to fight and then to try to force their ideas upon those people. That can no longer be done. It's very difficult. And history has shown that whenever countries engage into a military conflict with Muslims, Muslims come back stronger in their faith, and it causes more problems. So why not then? I mean, save yourself all of these headaches and so forth, and just, you know, send out these images, right, and make the people change themselves. It doesn't require armies. It doesn't require bloodshed. It doesn't require expenditure of capital in terms of billions of dollars that it does to prosecute a war, and so forth. Likewise, even if we were to say that they did not really, you know, aim to, wasn't really like a concerted aim of their part to change the Muslims, I mean, was not part of a form of warfare, it is just natural that people want their ideas to spread. So just like Muslims want their ideas to spread, non-Muslim unbelievers want their ideas to spread. And people use whatever means they can to spread their ideas. I mean, it's just a natural fact of human nature. I mean, irrespective of whether you say that this is a concerted effort by the unbelievers to make war against Islam or not, it's just natural that people will spread their beliefs and their ideals. And so we should not expect from people other than this. And since they have the material wealth and the economic wealth and the technology, kind of logical, well, for this, obviously, their message is very strong. Now, so what is that I would like to leave with this audience, if I could, that, you know, we need to take the issue of media very seriously. And part of that is that we need to support efforts in Islamic media. And, you know, when we see a magazine, for instance, like Jemaah Magazine, this is a commercial for him. When we see a magazine like Jemaah Magazine, it's a magazine which I like very much. I know the brothers too. I mean, we should try to support it in what we can. I mean, if we can subscribe to the magazine, this is a good way to support Muslim endeavors. Likewise, also, you know, we should take it further from that. For instance, to become, you know, critiques of the magazine in a positive sense, to send in our letters, to send in our suggestions, in order so our Muslim media reaches a higher level of excellence. Okay, and likewise, what's really important is that we need to train ourselves to become media savvy. You know, the Prophet ﷺ did not set a special group of people for da'wah, a special group of people for commanding good and forbidding evil. Rather, the Prophet ﷺ said to the Muslims, بَلِّغُوا عَنِّي وَلَوْ عَيْنًا. Spread it by me, even an ayah. He didn't take this for a special group of people, that you're the ones who's supposed to preach, but for all the Muslims. The Prophet ﷺ said that Allah makes the face of a person bright, who hears my words and then transmits it as he has heard it. You know, so you know the command spread Islam falls upon all of us, and so therefore we need to become media savvy. How do you become media savvy? You need practice. I mean, if somebody finds an article written in a newspaper, let's say the Guardian or the Times, for instance, okay, all right, which has some sort of distortion of Islam, a brother reads an article and he wants to correct that. Okay? You know, the ability to write two paragraphs and to convey your ideas correctly and tersely and be able to send it to the editor to have your comment, you know, published is a skill. If a person has never written a letter to an editor before, it's unlikely that he's going to be able to effectively write something. Likewise, if a person, if there's some sort of radio talk show and people can call in and speak, right? If a person doesn't know how to present his statement in a minute or two to correct an idea without sounding, you know, like he's crazy or without sounding like he's just fanatical, oh, this is wrong and, you know, you'll have to stop this and so much, then obviously that's a means which is, you know, not there. If people do not know how to use effectively the internet, you know, when you write on the internet and so forth effectively, to present a message is different than when you present a message by audio tape, by video, by printed book. So, you know, how does one, you know, effectively use these things? How does one, you know, build an effective website to present Islam? These are all means within our abilities, okay? And likewise, you know, Muslims need to, there needs to be certain Muslims who go and learn the skills of journalism. There needs to be Muslims who learn the skills of satellite communication, other forms of communication, in order that these skills can then be used by a Muslim organization who wants to spread the Islamic message. And most importantly, right, we need to train ourselves by knowing our religion, right, and being good ambassadors to Islam through our deeds and through our conduct, and presenting, you know, a general good image of Islam to the people of the people we live around. And with that, I'll conclude.
Inshallah, we'll start with any questions. There's a couple of questions on this. But before we go into that, Sheikh Ali, I mean, those who are converted on the internet and involved in serving the net, as they say, I mean, the way that we across the net, when we responded to the siege, the postings of the postings and about the subject, I remember, for example, one brother of theirs raised the point, and I want your comment on that, Sheikh. Saying that the fact that you have made so much effort and so much noise about it. Some Muslims, when they hear about this film, for example, yani they will become very interested and go and watch the film, and therefore they become the tools in enhancing any the budget of the film.
Sure.
Okay, so how could you talk about
that? Well, what Abu Bashir mentioned is a very reasonable and very correct comment. One of the things we did in Washington, D.C., was we had a group of brothers who went to see, there was a private screening. I mean, the film industry, the producers of the film had a private screening for the Muslims before the Muslim was released to the public. So we had some brothers who went to the private screening and they saw the movie. We told the other brothers in the class, no Muslim now should go to the movie. Why? Because we had some brothers who represented us and they went to see the movie and they came back and they gave us a report. So now we know what the movie's about. Okay? And we trust them and so forth. We don't want to add to their coffers by spending $6 or $7, I don't know. So we don't want to do that and so forth. And for instance, when a reputable organization quotes a movie and says that in the movie it says this and puts some dialogue and quote marks and so forth, that's sufficient. You do not yourself have to officially see the movie, make your official determination and so forth, to do a lot of the support work. But some Muslims obviously will have to see the movie in order to present the information. So. In Islam, we have to stay in certain boundaries. Examples, women cannot speak on the radio. We cannot have music on the radio. How can we make the Islamic media more attractive to people while staying within these Islamic boundaries? This is a very good question. I don't necessarily have a specific answer for you because I'm not, a journalist by profession or so forth. I'm a software engineer. But this is something when people would, study Islamic journalism, and there are universities, and some of the Islamic universities, for instance, do teach, journalism and so forth. And also brothers who would have experience in the field of journalism, they should be able to provide creative means by which they can present the message of Islam and, not fall into something which has been forbidden for us. So this is something which we need to, and if anybody's a journalist or anybody has some experience in that, we can maybe hear a comment and like assist and so forth.
Stage is open. Brother,
there's a question. With due respect, Shane, what I would suggest is, just want to make a comment and then you can answer it in a way, is that I think we're being very naive if we think that we can watch their media and somehow have an equal response to counteract it. Because really, they're very, very skilled at media control. And as we know, the Jews are controlling the media, and they have a well-orchestrated plan to brainwash people against all religion, especially Islam, against Islam in this country. I'm not sure about America, but certainly in this country, it's against all religion, and especially Islam. And for us to try and think that we can somehow counteract it, this major world force existing, simply by sort of going to the internet or watching their films, etc., I think we're just falling into their trap. And really, the only way you can counteract it is totally ignore it like Taliban stuff. Because the best thing the brothers can do is to say, right, we're not going to watch their television, we're not going to listen to their radio, unless it's only sort of news or something like that, maybe. But otherwise, what the brothers are going to do is, this is what I'm going to suggest is, we're going to fall in the trap exactly as they want us to do. Is that we're going to watch their films and think that we're counteracting them, and in reality, we're only getting brainwashed. And the internet is another just a trap to let in pornography. I mean, I had internet into my own home, and I realized that it was very, very dangerous. And their ideas are that you're getting knowledge. Somehow you're getting knowledge, and you're going to become more knowledgeable, and your children are going to get knowledge, but the reality of it is that you're just going to get brainwashed by their media. So there's no, you can't counter media by sort of getting on the radio and acting very clever and becoming very eloquent and think that you're going to impress them. We're not going to do that. The only way is that we remove television from our homes and say, we're not going to watch. And that's the thing that will really annoy them. The only thing that will get the Jews who control the media in this country is, you say to them, we're not going to watch television. That's the thing that will annoy them. And that's the only way we can counter.
And for the benefit of those who don't hear clearly, this is especially, just summarize the summary.
I'll summarize in my response. I mean, the brother was suggesting that it's not really reasonable to think that by merely trying to counter the media, because they're so media savvy, they're so skilled in media, that by just trying to counter it, we'll be able to actually deter their media. The best policy is one of boycotting, like the Polybag have done, and other nations also. I mean, it's not just the Polybag. I mean, the Iranians have tried it. I mean, in Singapore, which is a predominantly non-Muslim country, they've also tried to, you know, restrict some of the media access. I personally feel that given the nature of media today, and this is maybe a point where you might disagree, that it's impossible to shut it off from your country or from your life. That it's so pervasive, and the nature of people are such that maybe you find some strict Muslims who, you know, will take off of television and not the radio. The majority of Muslims, they really haven't reached that level of iman, and so they fall prey to that. Also, you have, I mean, 1 billion Muslims. You have, you know, 4.5 billion non-Muslims. How do we reach them? I mean, do we allow just their media to reach them, and we are unable to reach them? The only way we can reach them is, you know, somebody stands in Regent's Park and says, like, so what I'm trying to suggest is that that we need to have, you know, skilled media. And, you know, if we put our effort and rely upon Allah and have, you know, sincerity in our intentions, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be able, for a little effort, to bring some good to it. I mean, some of the reactions that the brothers had during the movie The Siege was that, you know, some, like, one brother told me that when people were passing by because they had heard about this, they said, I'm not going to spend my money on this movie. This is a Kafir who said that statement. Likewise, I think brothers who have, in the past, you know, given talks on radio or have given an interview in the newspaper or have been interviewed by television, you know, you'll find, you know, unbelievers who might have seen that or heard that come to you and really surprised. I mean, I remember 1 year I gave, for the Muslims, they had asked me to give these 5-minute talks at the at Ramadan during Iftar time, because the Muslims had bought a radio station, a Christian radio station, some time for it. So, can I take these 5-minute segments, you know, I mean, the adhan would be said, and then you would have, the adhan would take about a minute, you know, and you have 4 minutes, and you have to, like, read an ayah or a hadith, you know. What happened was, the radio station received so many letters from non-Muslims who wanted to get that series of things. They were so, I mean, you know, enamored by it. It wasn't because of me, I would say it was because these were the words of Allah, or the hadith, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. They're saying, well, how do I get a set of that, you know what I'm saying, which church is, you know, doing this week, you know, so, you know, the effect, you know, inshallah ta'ala is there, and this is something which we can, you know, disagree upon. I think we need to boycott, but I think in the reality is most Muslims will not do that, so we need to also have a counter, and also to reach the non-Muslims, we need to have strong media.
Inshallah,
we'll
get
Would you recommend to us that we should get involved in working for these media companies, you know, and BT, Sky, etc.? And if so, are we required to hide our identity? Where do we draw the line? Well, you know, the question of, you know, hiding one's identity, that's going to be part of one of the lectures tomorrow, so we'll leave that. As far as getting involved with these media companies, I mean, it depends on what's the involvement. I mean, obviously, if you're a producer of a media show which involves something which is haram, I mean, that's not something which a Muslim should, you know, get involved with. But let's say you are a technician who's, you know, who understands, you know, satellite links and satellite and so forth. I mean, you get some practical experience. Well, there ever came a time, and inshallah sometime soon, we find Muslim organizations entering to having satellite technology. Then we have somebody who's skilled in doing satellite hookups and so forth as a technician. Or in terms of sound, or in terms of video, and so forth. So these are skills that can be gained. Likewise, I know in the United States, we have a number of non-Muslims who are producers, even some non-Muslims who used to produce things in Hollywood, who became Muslim, and have now said, we have all these skills in terms of producing films for Dawah and so forth, in producing documentaries. Just, where's that Islamic organization, media organization, so we can now use these skills? And unfortunately, most of the times you have to shrug your shoulders and say, but inshallah, I mean, sometime soon. So I think that perhaps that should, you know. Okay. My brother has said, well, what's this question? Should I read it? Or? My brother has said to me plenty of times that a certain government has enough wealth to have a channel on TV. Why don't the Muslims come together to get global communications? Do you think it is necessary? Well, you know, what I suggest to the brother who wrote the question is that, you know, he can write a letter to the ambassador of that country and say to him, say, you know, Allah has blessed you with so much wealth, you know, we'll hope that you would, you know, put something like a satellite TV and so forth. But as far as me, I don't know how it's on the Does the media willingly give airtime to Muslim deviant groups or worse, non-Muslim groups that claim to represent Islam, Nation of Islam, Nation of India, and so forth? And what we found in the United States is that the media doesn't necessarily give its time to deviant Muslim groups because they're trying to, you know, push the deviant groups. But really what's happening is that the deviant groups go to these media installations and so forth and say that we're representing the Muslims, would you like to make an interview with us? And some sort of issue would occur, they'll call them up and put them in the list and so forth. And Muslim organizations, Muslims who are not, you know, or try to call them Sunni, not have a quick understanding of Islam, you know, gone and did their homework, contacted the different media groups and so forth. The media would then contact them. Like in the United States, nobody is going to contact in the United States now, I would imagine, any group regarding a media issue outside of care. Why? Because they did their homework. They have a list of all the producers, all the film critics, all the different, you know, stations and so forth, and they wrote them letters, they invited them, and they called them. And one of the things that CARE does, for instance, is that during every Eid, they have, like, an Islamic day. They send to all the masjids a little a pamphlet and so forth, and a communique, and they tell them to contact your local news representative, contact your local news station, contact your local newspaper, and tell them to come to the masjid tomorrow for Eid. And you can tell them that these are some of the issues you might want to ask Muslims. These are, you know, you sort of assist them in doing it. And here's a statement which you can then give to them, already prepared. You know, that, you know, Eid is because of the end of fasting. And Muslims, we have fasted for the last, you know, month and so forth. So then what happens, the media take that statement, puts it in there. They come there, they have a list of questions to ask the Muslims. They ask Muslims these questions. The Muslims are prepared there. They tell the media, if you come to the masjid, to make sure you go through a woman, cover your hair, wear a respectful dress, no shorts, and no smoking, and so forth. So they come there, and they interview Muslims as human, you know, human stories. Yeah, they might put in the last page of the newspaper, but it gets there. It's a start. And so, inshallah, he's found it. That's a... Okay, so the question I'll put in English is, what is your thing if we set up an Islamic radio station before we set up a world Islamic radio station, before we establish a world Islamic army? because it's part of Muslim, what's the part of Muslim? I couldn't read this word. What's this word? I guess it's, again, for most Muslims, rather than knowledge, which in our world today is communications. Well, you know, I think we need both. I mean, you know, any nation which is going to be successful today, right? I mean, this is a thing from a secular point of view. Any nation which is to be successful, you know, tries to raise a strong standing army. It tries to build a strong economic base. It tries to build a strong educational system. It tries to build a strong media base. And so therefore, as Muslims, Allah has commanded us in the Quran, why do you have al-Safa'atum al-Quwatib? You know, muster what you can of strength. So, you know, we're required to develop strong economic institutions, strong educational institutions, strong military institutions, and strong media institutions. One should not think always, you know, I mean, this is a question that always comes, it's either this or that. It's not this or that, it's both. And we all need to strive and to do our utmost in whatever means Allah has provided us. Okay, already a lot of people, including some Muslims, have such a negative idea towards Islam. So how can we overcome this problem, which affects a lot of practicing Muslims? Well, I mean, the best way is by reaching out to Muslims, you know, trying to talk to them, trying to show them the good of Islam, you know. And there are many means. Some things we'll talk about in the lectures tomorrow, just to, you know, mention some of them. You're writing letters, befriending a person, you know, inviting him to a meal. So the idea is to break down the barriers that people have, and that helps in spreading the message of Islam. Your comment on fighting like with like contradicts what you said earlier about us fighting with the traditional methods, that is swords hanging from the olive trees. Please explain. No, what I was mentioning earlier was that before the Day of Judgment, the Prophet ﷺ, when explaining to us the great battles that will occur before the Day of Judgment, indicated to us that these battles will occur using traditional weaponry like swords and horses and so forth. But we don't live in that time yet. That time is the time which will come. So when that time comes, we can worry about that type of traditional weaponry, horsemanship, and, you know, using bow and arrow and sword. But right now, people, you know, use these new technical means, and so therefore we need to become skilled in them. In 1948, the Prime Minister of England, Clement Attlee, expanded Mid-England's version of the FBI-CIA to include a section to spread anti-communist propaganda, forcing news stations to write false stories under the guise of national security. As Islam is seen as a new threat, it's now a matter of national security to remind the famous Islam its policy. I mean, that could be true. I mean, maybe some governments have made that a policy. But, you know, the point is whether it's a policy, you know, a concerted effort by, you know, some forces or not, it doesn't change the nature of what's happening, right? So we shouldn't get into the issue, well, it's a policy, it's a conspiracy against us and so forth, right? There's a fact that there's negative portrayal against Islam. And it is our responsibility to clear up that fact, irrespective of what the cause of that portrayal is. So if it's now become national policy to defame Islam and there's some sort of, you know, secret wing with the intelligence services, then so be it. But, I mean, the point is that, you know, we have to spread Islam and give the correct message. Next week, the Nation of Islam is giving an interview on a national talk radio station in the UK. What should I do? Well, it's difficult to react at the last moment, okay? But, you know, one of the things to do is try to talk to the radio talk show, perhaps send them a letter, send them some information. Visit them, say that, you know, that the Nation of Islam really doesn't represent the overwhelming, majority of the Muslims. Muslims really don't even consider them to be Muslims. Is it possible that we could perhaps, have another section where we could explain that why we do not agree with the Nation of Islam and so forth? Perhaps they might respond. Even if they don't respond, maybe the second time they'll respond. Maybe the third time. You have to be continuous in this. Don't give up just because one time they say, well, you know, who are you, and they just hang up. No. But rather, you know, be continuous and be persistent, inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will open the door for you. I feel that possibly the best Islamic meaning today is da'wah for Muslims. The words and actions and how they respond to the negative portrayal of Islam. Is it allowed for Muslims, or is the sin taking off our necks if we do not give the message of Islam to everyone we know? Can we be happy with ourselves in our hijrah to the United Kingdom? Well, you know, I mean, we're required to spread the message of Islam. And this is a requirement, you know, it's just like you're required to pray. Allah has commanded us to pray. Now, when you pray, do you know that what your prayer that you give is accepted by Allah as much as Allah? You don't. You do the prayer, and you hope that Allah accepts that act of worship. You partake in da'wah, you preach to Islam, and you hope that Allah accepts that act of worship. And at the same time, you feel in your heart, well, you know, maybe I should make my effort stronger, so that I can please my Lord, because maybe I didn't give enough efforts to that. In the same way that if I pray, you should always say, well, maybe I should concentrate more on my prayer, I should have more fear of Allah on my prayer. Constantly trying to improve yourself. And so, you know, and then when on the day of judgment, you'll see whether you discharge your duty or not. But there's no way you can say, well, if you call five people, you discharge your duty, but if you call, you know, if you don't call five, you know, you have to call ten, or it doesn't exist. Likewise, what the brother said or the sister said, that is our words and actions, yes, that's true. I mean, in the end, you know, the way we people want to see Islam in practice, you know. I mean, there are some people who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed that they have enough intelligence that they can judge the virtue of something based upon it itself. But most of humanity needs to see it until they're willing to accept it. That's why the Arabs, naked Arabs, you know, really waited for the Prophet to become over the Quraysh before they entered into Islam in great, you know, numbers. Present day facts, as I think, American culture revolves around Jews. Also, Jews have a strong loyalty in America. Lenin and Karl Marx were those who created communism. The Russians were very thankful to them for giving them communism, but now through the fall of the Soviet Union, communism had a great something lack, and communism now influenced setback, right? And communism has now influence on common masses. Despite the fact that the American caused obstacle to the spread of Islam, yet now Islam is regarded as a fast-spreading threat. You're absolutely right. I mean, you know, Islam is, I mean, with all the negative portrayal against Islam, Islam is still the fastest-spreading religion in the United States. But that doesn't mean because Islam is the fastest spreading religion in the United States, we say, okay, well, we're doing a good enough job. But we're supposed to put our full efforts, you know, and to our utmost. And the Jews do have an enormously and exorbitant, you know, effect on the media. And a lot of, you know, Jewish culture and Jewish ideas are spread through the media. But in the end, I mean, whether it's Jewish media or Christian media or Hindu media or Buddhist media, you know, the point is that we need to correct their distortion of Islam, and we need to bring Islam to them, right? And so I think the responsibilities are still the same.
I'm going to have a super point on your this last question.
Okay.
It's a couple of questions, actually. One from a brother. A comment twice served that comment from the brother. I'm going to make the shepherd. The brother says, isn't it time that we provide young people with some kind of entertainment in the mosque in order to attract them towards Islam in that way? And
not to feel
boring in the mosque environment. The other brother is in Arabic, expressing his opinion that he thinks, I would like to express the following point, and that is we cannot use the term Islamic media other than the shape of the writings. Yes, and that, for example, the Sahuf papers, newspapers or magazines. As for anything else, we may fall into some legal
we get
lost. Yeah.
Right. Well, you know, I guess that's the question now. I mean, if I understand what the brother was trying to aim at in his comments in Arabic, whether the portrayal of, you know, images, right, is this permissible to Sharia or not? I mean, we know the Prophet ﷺ had strict, you know, condemnation and forbade the drawing of pictures. And the reason why is it leads to shirk, and also it's resembling of the creation of Allah. But in terms of images, in terms of camera, and, you know, and as then being spread, or photographs, and then being spread by means of satellite or television broadcasts or video, and the scholars have different here. So those who consider this to be haram, and that it still falls under the prohibition of the Prophet, I mean, I respect their opinion, and I would agree that it would be, we have to restrict media then just to the voice or to written. But those who follow the opinion of those scholars who consider this to be permissible, that provided the content is permissible, then they become means. And I mean, this is an issue really which you would have to ask a scholar, and, you know, and I'm not. In general, I mean, the majority of the scholars in the Islamic world today do not view you know, images as in terms like video to be forbidden. The majority of the scholars, okay, and you have less scholars who review the permissibility of still photographs. And but there are opinions of those who consider it to be forbidden. And one can go and look at their arguments, and if one is convinced one way or the other, and you should follow that. And we leave that at that. Let me ask this last question: provide young people some kind of entertainment in the mosque. You know, if the entertainment is halal, of course. I mean, we need to. You know, and I don't mean by entertainment here that you have, you know, music and rap and stuff like that. Don't misunderstand me. But I mean, obviously, you know, youth have, you know, a different sort of need. I mean, if you want to sit a young man or a young girl to sit in a circle and, you know, expect them to sit for 2 or 3 hours still and to listen to a lecture and stuff, they might find that boring, okay? Some, you know, do show a maturity early, and they can do that. But for many, they cannot. And so, therefore, one needs to find, you know, means to entertain them. Let us not forget the example of the Prophet, sometimes, you know, which you find in Sahih al-Bukhari, that when the Ethiopians were doing a type of, you know, war sort of dance in the Prophet's Masjid, you know, using spears and so forth, Aisha, who was a young girl, wanted to see that, and so the Prophet, you know, drew her in the air and covered her with her cloak in order to see that, in order to let her desire, you know, to watch it to be fulfilled. It wasn't something which was haram. The type of play that the Ethiopians were doing to was something which, you know, it also had a military value because it uses spears and so forth. And it was a day of the eating which Muslims, the Prophet said, it's a day of, you know, relaxing and eating and drinking and so forth. So, and there is some precedence in the Sunnah to that. So, to, you know, to make events for young boys in particular, you know, events like sport activities and so forth, and one should not think of this that is, you know, forbidden, but rather these are good ways to develop skills in youth in terms of communication, in terms of, you know, teamwork, in terms of developing their bodies, and at the same time, sit them down, teach them how to pray, teach them how to read the Quran. As far as, you know, young girls, I don't know.
But maybe I'll push you up some opinions for that. But I mean, I'm sure that there are some similar activities would be good for young Muslim girls, like would they find the psyching and so forth.
Yeah, I appreciate that a few people are raising their hands. We are running out of time, so I shall begin one note. Well, I shall not leave it, because may I point out, brothers and sisters, that as you are advising the program, thank you for this, the final lecture of the series is purely dedicated for answering questions that you have raised or to be raised. And all these unanswered questions are to be put to the Sheikh, and we shall select enough for that session, inshallah. And perhaps I have already enough for that session. But that shouldn't put you off, obviously, not for sure. JazakAllah khair for listening. JazakAllah khair for listening. JazakAllah khair for listening.